Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to today's conference call regarding the first half-year results 2019 of NFON AG. At this time, all participants have been placed on a listen-only mode, and the floor will be open for questions following the presentation. Let me now hand the floor over to Sabine Prüser.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and a very warm welcome to NFON's half-year earnings conference call also from my side. I am Sabine Prüser, NFON's Head of Investor Relations. Joining me today are Hans Schimanski, CEO and CFO, Cesar Flores, CSO, and Jan-Peter Koopmann, CTO of NFON. Our format today will include the presentation of the results by Hans, followed by Q&A. Before starting, I encourage you to visit our Investor Relations website to access our corporate news, slide deck, our half-year report, and later on also the webcast replay of today's call. And to learn, of course, more about NFON. With that, let me turn over the floor to Hans.
Thank you very much, Sabine. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Hans Schimanski, and I'm very much looking forward to presenting you the first half-year results 2019 of the NFON Group. Let me please, as always, start with our mission statement. And this is that we want to dominate the European cloud telephony market by delivering freedom of business communication. So our goal is we want to become the number one for cloud telephony in Europe. I would like to give you an overview about our five-pillar strategy. First of all, we want to further develop the customer base that we have by stronger penetrate this customer base with more efforts in marketing and sales. We want to generate more sales revenue with the customer base. That's pillar number one. Pillar number two and three of our strategy is that we want to further develop our product portfolio. We have now cloud telephony with premium solutions such as voice recording, contact center, amongst others, but we want to further increase the product portfolio with, for instance, video conferencing system, messaging, screen sharing, etc., to be able to offer all the communication tools and solutions that our customer base needs. We will also, this is pillar number three, develop open APIs to be able to be to allow the broad access for third-party solutions with our system. Pillar number four is that we want to expand regionally by entering new countries in Europe. We are 100% focused in Europe, but we will enter and we have entered new countries in Europe. And last not least, pillar number five, we want to be active part of the market consolidation in the cloud telephony markets and capitalize on the high market fragmentation through our M&A activities. So if you look now at the milestones completed in the year 18-19, we see that we have now a recurring revenue of 85%. We have more than 408,000 seats. We have launched our new core product called Cloudia end of last year very successfully. We have also successfully performed a takeover of the Deutsche Telefon Standard AG, and we have entered not only Italy, but also France in the year 19. So we have seen a successful business development and the implementation of our growth strategy. That means that NFON is not only realizing its strategic milestones, we have also reached our targets. If we look at our market position, we see that we have a very strong market position in Europe. We are the only pan-European cloud PBX provider. We are present, as I commented, now in 15 countries in Europe. And in Germany, we are the clear number one with a market share higher than 25%. If we look at the combination of the European coverage and the number of seats, we see that we are well in front of our competitors. Let us now come to the key figures. NFON is developing in the first 6 months along the guidance for 2019. We have a revenue growth in the first half year of 28%, and in the recurring revenue, we see an even higher growth of 36%. We have 85% of recurring revenues and are not only clear above the guided range, but also it is also a strong basis for further revenue growth and the acceleration of the revenue that we expect for the second half year 2019. We have an increase of seats by 42%, which underpins the dynamic growth of the NFON business model. And, as commented, we have started the sales activities not only in Italy, but also in France, and we are now active in 15 European countries. Let us come to our business model and to the proportion of recurring revenues, which is well above the guidance. We increased the total revenue to 26 million euros in the first half year 2019. The recurring revenues are at 85%, and these are driven by the license fees per seat and month that we receive from our customer base of more than 30,000 customers and 408,000 seats, also from the airtime and from premium solutions. On the other side, we have the non-recurring revenues, which amount to 15% of total revenues. These are one-off revenues coming from an activation fee that we ask our customer to pay when they, the first time, sign for our solution, but also from hardware sales and professional services. Looking at the revenue development, we see that the total revenues grow by 27.7% to 26.3 million in comparison to 20.6 million in the first half year of the year 2018. The Q2 19, here we see an even higher growth rate of 33.8% if we compare Q2 2019 to the Q2 2018. So we see in the second quarter 19 an acceleration of growth. The non-recurring revenues in the first half year 2019 show a decrease of 5.7% compared to the first half year 2018, mainly due to the lower hardware sales. If we look at the recurring revenues in total, we see that we have a significant increase here by 36.1% in comparison with the first half year 2018. For the second half year 2019, we have to consider the cumulative effect quarter by quarter that we have in our business model due to the steadily growing total number of seats. We have also a very strong development of the seat base and an ARPU stabilization. We could increase the total seats from 287,000 in the first half year 18 to now 408,000 in the first half year 19. That is an increase of 42%. We have also a stable development of the ARPU since the acquisition of DTS. The ARPU in the Q1 2019 is now in the amount of €9.74. So we see a stabilization if we compare the first half year and the quarter 1/19. The influencing factors herefore is mainly, on the one side, the very successful development of the business with our wholesale partners, such as Telefónica, T-Systems, etc., who are selling their own airtime. We have, looking at DTS, on the one side, lower license fees for the cloud telephony seats, but on the other side, we are seeing a higher proportion of total airtime. And we have also the expected increase of the premium solutions. And overall, this leads to the stabilization of the ARPU as reported. We continue with a very low gross churn rate of less than 1.5% per month, which underlines the stability of our business model and the quality of our products and services. Looking at the gross margin, we see here a consistently and continuously increase. If we compare the gross margin in the year 2016 of 72% and the gross margin of the first half year 19 of 77%, we see here that the gross margin continues to show a positive development and amounts now to the 77%. We have also increased the number of employees. These rose by 68% from 216 employees to now 362 employees in the first half year 19 compared with the first half year 18. This number of employees includes, of course, also the additional employees coming from Deutsche Telefon Standard. And we have mainly increased the employees in sales, in marketing, in support, and also in the new subsidiaries, Italy, in France. This is consistent with our growth strategy. And I would like to emphasize that the ongoing investment in personnel is the foundation for future growth for the NFON Group. As a consequence, we have also an increase of the personal expenses as expected. Personal expenses as reported amount to €12.0 million. This has been adjusted by €1.5 million for the stock option plan and the retention bonus. And the personal costs relieved for the first time by the capitalization of the development costs in the amount of €0.6 million. We have now an increase of the adjusted personal expenses by 42%, but despite the higher headcount as a foundation for future growth, we see only a slight increase of the personal expenses ratio due to the scalability of our business model. We are also heavily investing in marketing. We want to gain market share through the intensified marketing activities. We have a total marketing of now 3.9 million in the first half year 19 in comparison with 2.3 million in the first half year 18. So the marketing expenses has been increased as planned by 71.6%, building a strong brand that drives sales and partner growth. We have starting our marketing activities in Italy and France. We have had several partner roadshows, several fairs and exhibitions, and we have also seen and started marketing campaigns for instance, TV spots and radio campaigns. We have now more than 2,000 partners across Europe. These partners need to be served with a strong brand and leads generated through our Enphone marketing. And we will continue with a strong investment in marketing, and this is again consistent with our growth strategy. We have also an increase in the adjusted other operating expenses, which increased from 2.2 million in the first half year 18 to now 4.7 million in the first half year 19. Enphone adjusts the other expenses by one-off expenses such as the acquisition of DTS, marketing costs and sales commissions. The sales commissions amount to 3.0 million in comparison with 2.1 million in the same period of the last year. The increase of the other operating expenses, the adjusted expenses, is due to various reasons, but amongst others, the start, of course, of our activities in Italy, in France. And I would like also to emphasize that we now have to consider the IFRS 16, which leads to a lower OPEX of 0.6 million. Enphone has applied the new requirements of the IFRS 16 for lease accounting, and this consists mainly in office rental agreements and fleet leases. The EBITDA shows the successful strategy implementation. We have an EBITDA as reported, which amounts to approximately minus 3.8 million. And this is in accordance with the strategy. We have increased the personal costs, marketing costs, and have seen higher sales commissions, which is, again, in accordance with the strategy. We have also to consider one-off effects in connection with the acquisition of DTS in the amount of 0.6 million and one-off effects for stock options and retention bonus that we have adjusted here. The adjusted EBITDA is as planned at the amount of minus 2.6 million. Let me now come to the outlook 2019, and we see here an accelerating growth in the year 2019. We confirm the full year targets. We expect to increase our customer base by at least 45%, and we expect a revenue growth rate at the lower end of the range of 40 to 45%. The reasons are, apart from the macroeconomic downturn, which we are also feeling with our customers and partners, we see also a time lag in the onboarding of major customer projects, which will slightly dampen the growth momentum over the year as a whole. And on the other side, we expect the resulting recurring revenues in the year 2019 to be at the upper end of the range of 75% to 80% of the total revenues. So we expect a successfully implementation of our strategy with an acceleration in the growth. Let me now on my last slide give you a summary on our key investment highlights. First of all, we have a huge addressable business communication market of more than 135 million seats in total in Europe, and this is being disrupted by a structural shift from on-prem PBX solutions to cloud PBX solutions. Enphone is the only true pan-European cloud PBX company, and we are very well positioned to become the dominant European player, which is in accordance with our mission statement. We are now present in 15 countries, including Italy and France. We have a very strong business model resulting in a unique combination of, on the one side, a massive growth, as we have seen, between 40 and 45% for the whole year, and on the other side, lying on a sustainable recurring revenue with a very low churn rate of less than 0.5% per month. We are state-of-the-art German engineering Klaus PBX supplier, and we are tailored to the European customer needs. We have an outstanding track record of scalable growth, and last not least, as commented a few minutes before, we have defined a five-pillar strategy and proven growth strategy leveraging a multidimensional layers of growth. So we have seen in the first 6 months 2019 the successful implementation of our growth strategy. Ladies and gentlemen, Enfone is well on track. Thank you very much for your attention.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press 9 followed by the star key at this time. Okay, and the first question comes from Knut Woller, who's calling from Baader Bank. Over to you.
Yeah, hi, thanks for taking my questions. Looking at the ARPU trend, I think that was quite a positive surprise. Looking at the second half of the year, is that something we should expect also in H2, or do you see any reason to believe that the ARPU should be more under pressure again? When we look at your reduced guidance, I think is it fair to assume that these are mainly also reflected in your raised recurring expectation at the high end? Is it fair to assume that this is mainly impacting the non-recurring revenues? Is that a fair interpretation of the lower or time lag of the onboarding? And then when you look at your growth, I think it's quite impressive. Can you break it a bit out on what is driven by your land and expand strategy and what's real new business, so new customer wins? And then briefly on Italy and France, can we get an update here? When do you expect here the first positive impacts from both countries? Is it fair to assume that we should already see first tailwind looking in the second half of the year? Thank you.
Thank you very much for your questions, Knut. I more or less expected this question of the ARPU for the second half year. But if you look at the influencing factors that I commented, on the one side, the very successful business development with the wholesale partners, this has a slightly decreased consequence on the ARPU. On the other side, the expected increase in premium solutions and also the higher proportion of total airtime. And the ARPU that we are reporting here is, of course, a mixture of several effects. So it is not easy to predict what will be exactly the development of the ARPU. I think that that the decrease of the slightly negative tendency is the right assumption. And then it depends if we are very successful with the wholesale partner business, we will see this slightly decrease also in the second half year. If we are able to increase on the premium solutions, and we have very promising projects going on here, then we will see the contrary effect. So I think, and I agree with you, it's a good message and a good surprise to have a stabilization here. And we will now, it depends now on the further development of the business in the second half year, how exactly the ARPU is going to react. Your second question was, if I'm not wrong, looking at the non-recurring revenues and if the assumption is correct that the deviation, slightly deviation in the guidance, the lower end of the revenue guidance, is driven by the mainly by the non-recurring revenues. And yes, we can confirm this. According to our knowledge today, this is exactly the reason why we are now seeing, apart the other reasons that I mentioned, why we are now seeing the revenue coming at the lower end of the range. This is mainly driven by the non-recurring revenue. And your last question was looking at Italy and France and asking for the development here. What I can tell you is that we have now round about 8 to 10 employees in each subsidiary in Italy and in France. They are heavily working with the partners and acquiring partners and customers and increasing also the pipeline. And yes, we expect to see the first revenues, although of course not high revenues, but the first revenues in the second half of the year 19. And I think you also asked concerning the growth, if it's coming from new customers or from the existing bases. As you may know and remember, we have a low gross churn rate, but if we look at the net churn rate, we see here a slightly negative net churn rate. So indeed, the customer base is growing out of itself, but I can confirm that by far the more important part of the growth that we are seeing is coming from new partners, new customers, and new seats.
Excellent. Thank you, Hans.
Very welcome.
The next question comes from Gustav Froberg, who's calling from Berenberg. Over to you.
Hi, everyone. Good morning. A couple of questions from my side. I'll just start with one and just work through. I think it's probably easier. Just firstly, on this larger customer project that you said were a little bit delayed in the second quarter, is there any way for us to gain an understanding as to how many seats or how much growth this would have contributed in Q2 if you had been able to execute as you would have liked? And also, will this then spill over into H2 so that we'll just get it in H2 instead, basically?
Well, we cannot deliver an exact number of seats that would have been recorded if we would have not had this slightly delay on this major customer projects, Gustav. But what I can tell you is, and that maybe help your understanding, is that the reasons therefore is, on the one side, slightly on our side due to the fully utilized resources that we have, but the main reason is that the customer himself has taken more time for his project to roll it over all the companies and the subsidiaries. So we have planned to do it quicker, but the customer is not in a hurry. It takes more time for that. And this is also something that will have an impact in the second half year, so that we will see a slightly, coming from this effect, we will see a slightly dampen the growth momentum over the year as a whole. So it's not only something that it has been, has happened in the first half year and will fully be compensated in the second half year. We will see that over the year as a whole. And this is the reason why we expect and confirm the revenue growth rate at the lower end of the range of 40% to 45%.
Okay, just a quick follow-up on that. Is this one customer only, or is there more customers where you've had the same issue?
This is a lone number of customers, but it's not only one.
Okay, super. Then the next question. You're spending a lot to grow in line with your strategy on sales and marketing and so on, which is great. When can we expect to see this really reflect or be reflected in your organic growth numbers, both on seats and then obviously revenues will follow thereafter?
Well, this is a continuous investment, of course. So the consequences are on the one side, hopefully immediately, but on the other side, if you look and if you consider that we are not only investing to generate leads, but also to have a stronger brand recognition, this is of course a long-term effect that we see here. So we do both. We invest in higher marketing for more leads, more sales, more seats, but also for the higher brand recognition. And this brand recognition, of course, help our customers to take maybe a quicker decision to take a solution from Enfone, but help also our partners to convince their customers to come to Enfone. So it is a heavy investment. We see that, but we will continue with that because this is the foundation also for the strong growth that we expect in the second half year, but also in the years to come.
Can I jump in
right,
real quickly?
Okay, very,
just speaking.
Yes. Please.
Just to add to that, so the marketing efforts that we are continuously investing in to not only go to direct customer acquisition, but also to get more partners on board. That's very important. Hans mentioned that already before with partner roadshows. The key is really to win the channel, and that means that we continuously need to invest our marketing dollars in the acquisition of new partners overall in Europe.
Sure, right. Okay, very, very helpful, both. Thank you very much. Then just a tag-on question and a final one, actually, from me. Could you just give us a bit of an update on the competitive landscape and who you're seeing as competitors out there, and maybe just a broader question as well on that, how you're seeing the underlying market developing in Europe?
Well, I think I can start with that, and maybe Cesar can add some ideas and thoughts on that. What we see on the competition is that the competitors are also doing efforts to be part of the consolidation of the market. This is something that will continue. So we see acquisitions in UK, and we see acquisitions also in Europe. If we look at the peers, the U.S. American peers, RingCentral and 8x8, we have still the same situation. We do not see them in Europe at all, and only very, very slightly in UK. So we think that they continue to address their home market, and this makes absolutely sense because, as you may know, the North American market is only converted by 20% to the cloud. So the US American peers have also 80% to go and to address in their home market. And it makes sense that the efforts to come to Europe, to continental Europe, or to increase the activities in UK are not very high. This is from my side. Cesar, some additions from your side?
Yeah, happy to jump in here quickly. Overall in Europe, we see, apart from us, only two other groups being acquisitive and trying to build up a European player, but none of them so far has reached neither our coverage in Europe, as we do, with 15 countries. The next one to us is only present in 5 countries so far, and the third one only present in 2 countries so far. All the other players in Europe are only effectively national players. I think that's very important also to notice. And then if you look at the broader competition landscape, that includes classic on-premise players or operators. As you know, we have very intense cooperations with these to work together with them to drive through their channel and through their existing customer base the sale of our platform. Overall, by that, avoiding competition coming out of that landscape.
All right, super. Thank you very much for the insight.
You're welcome, Gustav.
If anybody else would like to ask a question, please press 9* now. We have a follow-up question here from Knut Woller from Baader Bank. Over to you, Mr. Woller.
Yeah, thank you. Just as a quick follow-up with regards to M&A, you recently strengthened your firepower by just basically winning a new anchor shareholder. And you have now done the first M&A move with DTS and solidified your market leadership in Germany. So looking at M&A, and you said you want to continue to be quite active, is it fair to assume that going forward, maybe a strengthening of the market position in the other European countries will be a major focus of you, or will you rather focus in M&A efforts on adding new parts to your product portfolio? How do you basically weigh both options?
Yeah, thank you very much for that question, Knut. First of all, we are 100% in agreement with you. We have now a new shareholder, AOC, and we are fully in agreement that with the new shareholder we have a strong basis to develop our company, not only organically but also inorganically through more M&A activities and the one or the other acquisition here. So as we have now a very strong position in Germany, as I commented before, you are also correct, our major focus will be to look for opportunities abroad, so mainly in the countries where we are present today. And what I can tell you is that we have an own small department of specialists working on M&A. We have developed a systematically long list of targets and now a short list of targets. And if there is a possibility, we will look for a similar acquisition as we have seen in Germany, also abroad. So looking for customer base, seats, revenues, etc. But we should not neglect the fact that we can also think about an acquisition of some interesting technology parts. There may be companies which have an interesting technology for us, something that we want to integrate in our product portfolio and put on our infrastructure and offer this to our customers. If that would be the case, we can also think about an acquisition on a technology part. Important to emphasize, I think, is that we will further focus on M&A, and that we want to be part of the consolidation of the market, active part of this consolidation in the European cloud telephony market.
Thank you.
Welcome.
It looks like we have no more questions for today.
Okay. Dear ladies and gentlemen, may you have any further questions or need more information following this conference call, please do not hesitate to contact me. For now, we would like to say goodbye. Thanks for attending our today's call and wish you a nice Friday. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Bye.